Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, but, all these kids around, if only there was someone to watch them all.
I believe you're looking for a babysitter?
Oh, that'd be a brilliant idea. Now, where could one find one of those?
Maybe a new next-door neighbor?
I don't know. The neighbors don't like me very much after the unpleasantness.
I understand. Before we get into this week's episode, I remind you guys, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your pod catcher of choice, wherever you find us. Please leave us a little review. Just take a short moment out of your day, and it really helps us out. We really appreciate it. This week's episode is New Kid on the Block, episode 9F06, originally aired November 12th, 1992. This is written by Conan O'Brien. You know, that guy. You know, the talk show host?
I've never heard of this Conan O'Brien. You see a stalwart, tiny, buff man?
No, he's a tall, ginger fella with a gigantic head. Pretty funny.
Oh, well, so he's a wuss and I can beat him up then. Good to know.
Maybe. You probably could. If you had to fight Conan O'Brien, I think you'd probably win that. But I don't think you need to. He's a pleasant guy. I think it'd be fine. I'm fairly certain this is his first writing credit. He had joined the writing team with us already, but this is his first episode in its entirety. Directed by Wes Archer, its original broadcast finished 23rd in the ratings, a Nielsen rating of 14.4, approximately 13.4 million viewing households, highest ratio on Fox that week, beating Beverly Hills 90210. The chalkboard gag, I will not bring sheep to class.
Well, why not? Sheep are very educational. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, Miss Corral could seize that opportunity. Look at the sheep.
Yep, where, you know, wool comes from.
Wool comes from this.
Where mutton comes from. Everyone needs to know where mutton comes from.
Not a fan. Not a fan of mutton. Lamb chops, absolutely. Mutton?
Yeah, not so much.
Mutton stew. Stew mutton works. Braise it, maybe. Braise mutton's good.
Oh, yeah.
Do not saute mutton. It's too dry. You need to marinate. You need to cook it in liquid. Important. The couch gag.
Slow cooker.
Couch gag. Couch falls to the floor, apparently. Because the wiki says this. Matt tells me that's right. But on Simpsons World, the official Simpsons portal for watching episodes online, it is the big song and dance circus number. So I don't know what they're doing on there. But I guess we'll find out. It seems like a little early for that big one. But I assumed it was right. But I was wrong to assume anything. I should not do that, right, Matt?
That's correct. Mine's direct from the DVD, so... You
know. Exactly. Sarah Gilbert guest stars as Laura Powers, and Pamela Reed guest stars as Ruth Powers, the daughter and mother, the new neighbors. Sarah Gilbert, you probably know her from best as from Roseanne, but she's in other stuff as well.
Or The Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory is...
Hate it like Robbie.
Yeah, exactly. I try and pretend that show doesn't exist. Pamela Reed is... Ruth Powers, has more focus, you know, in Marge and the Lamb later on, but you'd recognize her. She's most recently played Amy Poehler's mother on Parks and Rec. She plays Leslie Knope's mom. So if you guys follow Parks and Rec, that's who she is. She also does lots of voices and stuff like that. The episode begins with a dating show parody, although it's really just... a current dating show now. It's like The Bachelor. That's what. Yeah. This was supposed to be like, wow, this is because it talks about how the guys had sex. So they have all the contestants. I'm like, well, that's just The Bachelor now. And they don't even act. Yeah, right. I mean, that's very funny. Homer is he's taken off the couch by the doorbell. And it's his neighbor. Are we given a name for the neighbors? The old neighbors?
The Winfields.
Winfields. Okay, so she is going to try and... She's trying to get to sell the house and to move and ask Homer for some help.
Mr. Simpson, my husband and I have decided to move.
Gonna run out to Clark in Florida, eh?
Yes. Well, there's a few things you could do to help us sell our home. First, whenever you walk in front of your window, could you please wear pants?
No.
Second, could you please take in your jack-o'-lanterns from past Halloweens?
No.
And please cover your garbage. It's attracting wildlife.
And I think that's is that a Northern Exposure reference, Matt?
I was going to ask. I think that's the music from that show.
Yeah, because there's a moose and, like, it seems like a Northern Exposure. And if you guys have never watched Northern Exposure, it's a good show. It was a good, you know, dramedy from that time period. I liked it. Matt, not a fan?
I never actually saw it, to be honest. Okay. You know, it's one of those shows from the 90s I missed because I was reading books, like a little nerd that I was.
I read books and watched shows.
Yeah, I only had time for books.
Oh, okay.
That and the marching band.
Okay, that's fair. So the neighbor's moving. Homer takes advantage of this and roots through their garbage and grabs estrogen pills and along with a whole bunch of other junk.
And wire hangers. Don't forget the wire hangers.
Of course, you need all those wire hangers. As he's trying this expired medicine, he sees an ad for the Frying Dutchman, which we the first appearance of the sea captain. And, you know, it's an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet, which Marge is allergic. Homer does not care, still wants to go. We see people trying to buy the house next door. They're all kind of scared away because they see Homer. In a kiddie pool in the front yard.
Naked, eating a hot dog.
Is he naked, or is he, like, just, you don't see it necessarily. I assume you he's don't wearing see, but
if
shorts.
If he's wearing a swimsuit, he's not even wearing shorts. They would have to be, like, Speedos if he's wearing anything. Which we are showing that he does have earlier in the episode when he's making bacon on the beach. He's wearing, like, gigantic Speedos, so it's possible he's wearing those.
Yeah, that's my guess. I'm guessing if he was actually naked in this front yard, someone would go to the police. But they're all scared away. Eventually, Bart and Lisa sneak into the abandoned basement, and Bart takes this as an opportunity to try and scare Lisa.
Nervous, Lise? I don't blame you. This is where the Winfields hid their mutated son.
Bart, the Winfields didn't have a son.
See that sock over there? It was his only friend.
Hello, Lisa. Here in the dark, you won't need those eyes. Let me have them.
Bart, that's not funny.
There are some who say the monster is still here.
Friend.
Ah! Hey, kid, wake up.
Who are you?
I'm Laura, your new neighbor. You all right?
She's beautiful. Say something clever. I fell on my bottom.
I have to admit, compared to some of the clever things I've said, that's pretty good, actually.
And so we meet Laura. We find out that, you know, the neighbors have moved in. But that's the end of Act 1. It is literally 3.5 minutes long. Matt's...
But 3.5 minutes filled with hilarity.
It's just a little... The structure works in how this story is set up. It's just a very short first act before commercial.
Yeah. When we come back, we see the Powers. It's Powers, right? Yeah.
Powers.
Powers is... moving in, being moved in by the clumsy student movers. But we see Marge being the welcome wagon and bringing a wonderful basket of fun Springfield things for the new family.
And finally, Moe's Tavern has contributed a coupon as their way of saying welcome to Springfield.
Thank you. This is all so nice. I actually had some doubts about moving to Springfield, especially after that Time cover story, America's Worst City.
You could see our house in that photo.
Oh.
And this is for the man of the house, which I guess is you.
I guess I should explain. Laura's father and I divorced 2 years ago. They're so sweet when you marry them. But soon it's just career, career, career.
My hammock! Do you understand? Mine! Don't look that way!
You know, it's funny. I feel like Marge is really judging Homer for talking to the dog, but everybody talks to their dog. I mean, come on. You know.
Even when they can't hear you, right, Matt?
Exactly. Even when they can't hear you, the desire to yell at a dog is very strong. It's like genetically encoded. You yell at dogs to get them to do stuff.
You yell at any animals, they don't listen. Usually.
That's true.
Especially animal if they're deaf.
Listeners. after this conversation between Marge and Ruth, we see Bart and Laura hanging out, which I feel is a little weird, but I guess it was more common back at this point when, you know, there wasn't the internet, that you just hung out with whoever's on your block, even if they were different ages. We actually are never given a age for Laura, which I have to figure she's at least a teenager if she's being allowed to babysit for Bart and Lisa. So what are we talking, like 14, 15 here, maybe?
My guess was 14. That's what I was. I was putting her. But I, she's a nice person. She's probably just like, you know, I'll hang out with these little kids and have, you know, just, you know.
And there wasn't much else to do in the early 90s. So, you know, hang out with the 10-year-old down the street. But we actually see her and Bart getting along really well, and they're doing tricks to each other, wet willies and Hershey donutses and weird stuff that, you know, kids do. And of course, it's Dolph and Kearney that come along, and Laura, with some sparkling wordplay, scares them off. And Bart is, of course, awed by this. So he falls even further in love with her. And then she does something with the hand where she ends up spitting on his hand, you know, because it's supposed to be gross. But Bart, being madly in love, decides he is never, ever going to wash this hand again.
It's very gross hand.
And we cut to a few, I hope, days later, because it's a really dirty hand for the rest of the day. But we see it's got a Band-Aid and it's filthy. And he goes to torture Lisa with it and, you know, ends up touching the dog and sticking to the dog, which is disgusting. And decides maybe he ought to, you know, actually wash the hand. But then we see Homer wanting once again to go to the Frying Dutchman, because that's right up his alley. All you can eat seafood, which where most of it especially appears to be fried. But unfortunately, we see him calling the babysitter, babysitting service. And apparently, he has used them before.
Shut up, you little monsters! Hello, I was wondering if you'd like to babysit my little angels.
Sorry, this isn't Abby. This is her sister. I look after her now.
No, Bart, put it down. Put it down, Bart. Bart, put it down.
Oh, the poor babysitters. Apparently, Bart's a bit of a handful. But luckily, Bart suggests that Laura could babysit for them. And, of course, Lisa sees through this transparent maneuver for what it is. But Marge and Homer think it's a great idea. And so we then see Bart voluntarily taking a bath, which, if you've ever had a 10-year-old, knows is quite the miracle. Of course, Bart, sometimes a guy just wants his skin to look its yellowest, which is a great joke, acknowledging the Simpsons' weird coloration. Bart comes in with a smoking jacket and a bubble pipe, which is just a fantastic caricature of Hugh Hefner. I mean, he's spot on.
And he does it, we see it again in Krusty Comeback Special, when we actually...
Yep.
Yeah, when we actually...
When he's at with Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently they're going to order out for food, and Bart, in a very smooth accent, says "Lady's Choice," which, if my wife is listening, that's where I got that from. Just so you know, I tend to say that quite a bit. but they order Thai food, which apparently Springfield has, which that seems pretty unusual.
It's not Thai food, right? Kabul?
Not Thai food. Where's Kabul?
Where do you think Kabul is?
Somewhere in Southeast Asia. I swear they say Thai food at some point.
Kabul is in Afghanistan, Matt.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I swear they say Thai food.
They do not say anything about Thai food. They talk... yes, it's Middle Eastern, you know, Afghanistan, you know.
Okay, I thought, because she says it's from Kandahar, when her dad was stationed in Kandahar. I'm like, that's nowhere near Thailand, but maybe they just had that food. Anyway.
No, they eat some Afghan food. It's Afghan food. And I really like that little cutaway bit, because it shows the restaurant, two guys from Kabul, and one of the guys is super angry. He's like, do you want this restaurant to fail? And then they get one, then they jump on the phone as soon as Laura calls them.
So basically, Springfield does not have a big appetite for Afghan food.
Well, I would say you probably shouldn't call your restaurant Two Guys from Kabul. It's probably not the best name for a restaurant. But again, I don't think Simpsons. I think the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet is a little bit more up Springfield's alley.
That's true. Although in a later episode, in later seasons, we do see they have a thriving Ethiopian restaurant. So maybe Springfield's more cosmopolitan than we realize.
Ethiopian's pretty damn good there, man. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Anyway, we move on to Homer and Marge at the Frying Dutchman. And, of course, Marge, as we learned earlier in the episode, I think she's allergic to fish. And she's attempting to find something to eat, but apparently even the bread has fish in it here at the Frying Dutchman. So she settles for, we will see.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but everything on the menu has fish in it.
What about the bread? Does that have much fish in it?
Yes.
Well, I have some Tic Tacs in my purse.
Excellent choice. And for the gentleman?
All you can eat! All you can eat!
All right, when you're ready, take this plate over.
Please, don't take the steam tray, sir!
Yet another episode where we learn that Homer has hands of steel, because I don't know about you, but steam trains are generally pretty dang hot, and Homer just grabs it and runs. They are closing for the night, and Homer is still shoving food into his face as fast as he can. Captain McAllister, he's seen men like Homer before.
That man ate all our shrimp and two plastic lobsters.
Tis no man. Tis a remorseless eating machine.
Captain McAllister is quite dedicated to the nautical theme and tells him, six bells, time for closing. And Homer has no interest in leaving. And he says, can't talk eating. And then Captain McAllister has some of his goons, which apparently he has, throw them out of the restaurant. And we see Homer and Marge in bed. And Homer is horrifically upset by this. All you can eat. Ha! And he is determined to fight this. We then go back to Homer and Marge, who are in the offices of one Lionel Hutz, who is absolutely convinced Homer has a case. And that not only does he have a case, he is a hero.
All you can eat. Huh!
Mr. Simpson, this is the most blatant case of fraudulent advertising since my suit against the film The Neverending Story.
So, do you think I have a case?
Homer, I don't use the word hero very often, but you are the greatest hero in American history.
Woohoo!
That's true. For taking down an all-you-can-eat restaurant that kicked him out when they were closing, Homer is a fantastic hero.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go, kid. That's your role model.
Homer is my hero, Matt, so...
Yeah, mine too, especially if you go by Waistline. We then see Bart, who is... He's hurting for woman advice, so he goes, oddly enough, to Grandpa. But then he gets down to business, and he asks Grandpa if he ever had a crush on an older woman.
I had a crush on the oldest woman. 120 years old she was. Here's a picture of her delivering UB Blake.
What happened?
She fell in with that Guinness Book of Records crowd. Suddenly, she didn't have any time for me. Oh, I wore a 15-pound beard apiece for that woman, but it just wasn't enough.
Okay, do you have any idea who UB Blake is?
UB Blake? No. Yeah. I just assumed Okay, here. Wikipedia is telling me UB Blake is a American composer, lyricist, and pianist of ragtime, jazz, and popular music.
He was born in 1887.
Died in 1983.
So, yeah, that's, I guess, just a really great joke.
Yeah.
About an old guy. So, sure, why not? Seeing this, Bart realizes, you know, he doesn't really have a whole lot to learn from Grandpa. So he goes to his parents. And Marge tells Homer, you know, be careful about this, that maybe he should talk to Bart rather than learn like Homer did, which apparently was from watching a couple of monkeys go at it. And it's actually funny. I never realized that the zookeeper did anything besides, you know, just stage worships until I saw the subtitles. And if you listen really closely, you can hear the zookeeper saying they're having sex if you listen really carefully.
Yeah, he actually does say it.
Yeah. And then we see Bart and Homer have a touching father-son moment.
Son, a woman is a lot like a refrigerator. They're about 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. They make ice and... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, a woman is more like a beer. They smell good. They look good. You'd step over your own mother just to get one. But you can't stop at one. You want to drink another woman. So I says, yeah, if you want that money, come and find it, because I don't know where it is, you baloney. You make me want a wretch.
So for poor Bart, there is no good woman advice. I don't know why he didn't go to Marge, but I feel like she would have given the best advice of all. But unluckily for him, Laura taps on his window late at night while he's, thinking about what to do, and asks him to meet her in the treehouse, where she reveals the most horrible news Bart could ever hear, that she has a boyfriend. And we get yet another great dream sequence where she rips out his heart and stomps on it.
Doesn't stomp on it, Matt.
She throws it in the trash.
Punts it into the trash can.
My bad. I knew there was a foot involved somehow.
I knew there was a foot involved. So, when we come back, we find out that it cuts directly back to where they're still in the treehouse when we come back. We find out that it's Jimbo Jones is her boyfriend, which is a little perplexing, I guess. But knowing a 14-year-old girl, and they kind of go over it later, it makes sense. As they're driving, as Jimbo arrives on his little dirt bike, and she, they have some parting words about Bart that strike right to the core.
Who's the dork?
Leave him alone. He's just a kid. Just a kid. Just a kid.
I'll show them who's just a kid.
Bart, it's your bedtime. I laid out your jammy jams.
Poor Bart.
Poor Bart. Bart is confused. He doesn't know what to... This makes this situation even more troubling to him. Because now this girl that's much older than him that he likes now has a boyfriend that is obviously much older than him as well.
Do we ever get an age on Jimbo? Because does go to Springfield Elementary.
I assume he's... I don't know how far this elementary school goes to. Like, if it includes, like, a middle school. I assume that these guys, that they're roughly, maybe he's 13 or 14, roughly the same age as, and he may be held back. That's also possible.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
But it may just be elementary school, and it includes middle school as well. It doesn't.
Possible, yeah.
They don't, Springfield is not a big enough town where they have a elementary, middle, and high school, where they just have elementary school, but it goes up to high school. I don't know.
That's true. They reference Springfield High School several times. You never hear about Springfield Middle School, I don't think.
I assume that they don't have a middle school. I think that's what I always thought.
Okay.
Bart asked Homer what to do with what is his? I forget his exact phrasing, but what do you do if you have a woman that is like dating some clod that's beneath her?
Yes.
And Homer's like, you marry her. Laura's babysitting again. And this time she wants, while they're going to the court, court is in the day, but it's at night when they're watching the kid. The timeline is a little strange to me, but she wants them to be in bed before Jimbo comes over. And Bart asks her directly, like, what do you see in him?
All right, you guys, I want you in bed before Jimbo gets here.
What do you like about him? He's just a good-looking rebel who plays by his own rules.
That Lisa and Laura both make that little, like, contented sigh. That's kind of...
What we need to do, Robbie. We need to make our own rules, and the women will like us.
We're both married, Matt. We don't have to... That's the thing. That's why I got married.
Oh, really? That's why? You don't have to make your wife like you anymore?
I don't have to do any of that more of that. It's less work now. It can be much lazier.
Okay.
We cut to the courtroom session, which is really fun. They go back and forth with the... what's the name of that lawyer guy? What's his character name, Matt? I always forget it.
I honestly could not tell
you. The high-priced lawyer.
Greasy lawyer.
Greasy high-priced lawyer guy. He's working for the sea captain. Homer and Marge, of course, have Lionel Hutz. They go back and forth a little bit. My favorite part is when they interview Marge.
Mrs. Simpson, what did you and your husband do after you were ejected from the restaurant?
We pretty much went straight home.
Mrs. Simpson, you're under oath.
We drove around until 3 a.m. looking for another all-you-can-eat fish restaurant.
And when you couldn't find one?
We went fishing.
Did these sound like the actions of a man who had all he could eat?
No! Not at all!
That could have been me!
That's true. I often feel that way. That could have been me.
That could have been me. But at this point, I guess the sea captain realizes that it's kind of swaying in towards Homer's favor. So he goes to Homer and they kind of settle where Homer can eat all he wants, but he works as a kind of a freak show attraction for everyone to come and see him eat in the window of of the restaurant, see how much he can eat, which that's a pretty good deal for Homer, especially.
Yeah.
I mean,
he gets what he needs.
He gets what he needs. At the same time, Bart has kind of figured out a plan to try and embarrass Jimbo, and he does that, his first step, calling Mo.
Hey, just a sec, I'll check. Amanda Hug and Kiss? Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Maybe your standards are too high.
Little SOB. If I ever find out who you are, I'm gonna shove a sausage down your throat and stick starving dogs in your butt.
My name is Jimbo Jones, and I live at 1094 Evergreen Terrace.
Aha! Big mistake, pal!
That's a hell of a slip up. Oh, I just accidentally told you my name and address.
And 1094 Evergreen Terrace. That's not the usual address, but again, it's the Simpsons. I think they were still I think 742 is generally accepted as their true address. So we get a sequence with Mo running across the field. He forgets where their address is. So he has to run
Evergreen back. Terrace F5. Those of you who've ever, there aren't many of you left alive, but those of you who had to use old school maps, you'll understand the grid system they used to use.
Yeah. So Mo eventually makes it to the Simpsons house, kicks down the door, and corners Jimbo.
All right. Who's Jimbo Jones?
I am.
You just made your second mistake, buddy boy.
Please, dude, don't hurt me. Oh, man.
That's your outlaw?
I wasn't really going to kill you. I was just going to cut you. I forget it.
So, I was just going to cut you a little bit, you know? Yeah, what are you scared of?
Nothing to be frightened. That was a crazy man with a butcher knife. But Jimbo is...
Robbie, that is a chef's knife, not a butcher's knife. We're written on angry letters now from those among us who are good at the culinary arts.
Okay. I apologize, Matt. I'm so sorry. So Bart's like, is this the Jimbo? Is this the, you know, he basically goads Laura and she's like, yeah, you tell us Jimbo to leave. I guess she doesn't want to see him anymore because he's cried. He's crying because someone threatened his life. I guess.
Yeah,
a grown man has threatened his. I know he's. So he runs away crying, blowing his nose in his shirt. Laura gives Bart a peck on the cheek, and you know says, "All you know, if you were a little bit older, you had a bad teenage mustache." You know.
Yep. If he's old enough to grow a bad teenage mustache, she'd go out with him in a second.
Yeah, and the episode ends with them in the bar, right? And
Homer and Captain McAllister.
Yeah, and they call Mo again. And we get another prank call, and Homer and Ruth's in the bar too. And Homer and Captain McAllister are drinking a beer. They are everyone's laughing, and that's how the episode ends.
That's true. We missed the part where Ruth tried to cash in her free coupon for a beer, and Mo tried to pass it off as Bo's Cavern.
But overall, it's like a good solid episode. It's nothing spectacular, but it's
yeah. You say that, but this is a great episode. As someone who's always had a thing for older women, you know, obviously, Laura was the dream when you were a kid.
I agree that I have, of course, a lot of guys have this thing where they, you know, end up idolizing some older woman. And I don't know. Maybe the time in between has made me realize that it's, you know, it's silly and it's, you know, it's something a lot of people go through. And it doesn't strike me as like true. Like it doesn't hit me emotionally as much as a lot of, you know, the other true emotional episodes. Like I don't feel as bad for Bart. Like I don't know. I think that's it. I just don't feel the. Like it's and there's good gags and everything. Also, doesn't help that my axe made up less than half of this episode.
Yeah, right.
Your second act is over 12 minutes long, I think. But we will rank it at the end of the show. My favorite episode, none for this episode, but again, if you guys have any, please email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com what your favorite episode is and why, and we'll read it on air. Next up. It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
And not a bunch for this one. They think that the greasy lawyer guy is Milhouse's dad.
have we seen Kirk Van Houten yet?
I don't believe so. I don't remember.
That's, well, you know.
Van Houten.
They do kind of look similar, but, you know, Milhouse having a dad with a backbone seems a little weird.
You know, he was in Bart's Friend Falls in Love. He was in there. So these people just weren't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think that's it. And maybe they're just confusing the two, because we don't know anything about Kirk other than, hey, it's Milhouse's dad. So
true. Well, couldn't they go back and watch the episode 20 times? Oh, wait, they were in the early 90s.
If they had VHS, they could. They had VHS. That's true. Yeah.
God, VHS.
But not much else if they taped everything. Next up is our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number. Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener. Yellow.
Listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite episode with Marge in the title? A lot of great answers. Not as overwhelming as I thought it would be. And we'll find out as we go. First, we have Cody Av at Cody Av on Twitter. This is The Twisted World of Marge Simpson. I believe it was a boating accident. I have to go now.
A boking accident?
Boking accident, yes. John at Choppa Style 311. Marge, be not proud. You could say the heart in the episode has been turned up to power drive. Hashtag monorail close second. Philip at Lyles. Philip, Marge versus the monorail. It's arguably the best Simpsons episode ever, let alone a Marge title. I call the big one Bitey. Emily at Blueberry Attack. Marge and the Lamb for the best car chase music. Plus the only time I've seen Garrison Keillor referenced on anything ever. And it's kind of early, I guess. Garrison Keillor was not a, you know, there wasn't, NPR wasn't a biggest thing then, I guess. Was it?
That's true. I don't think so. I mean,
it doesn't seem like it was.
The 80s, maybe.
Yeah. Sean at ShinyMac15. I want to be creative here and select an episode that isn't Marge versus the monorail. But that seems more like a Shelbyville idea. on Facebook, we have Brian. Streetcar named Marge. I know monorail is a classic, but the Broadway send-up of O Streetcar just levels me. Here's a tip from Blanche you won't regret. Stranger's just a friend you haven't met. You haven't met Streetcar. Streetcar! Izzy, I'm a big fan of It's a Mad, 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 Mad Marge. It's nice to see how protective she is of Homer, although she constantly struggles with his blunders. Shut up, Becky!
Aww.
I do like that she gets fed up with Becky. Jeremiah, I like the episode where Marge buys an expensive outfit fit in with the women's club and continually alters it, which is scenes from a class struggle in Springfield. Really shows the two sides of Marge, side that strives for more than just her family, a new group to fit in with on a regular basis, and then sort of crashes back to her true reality when she can't alter the dress anymore. Abby, Marge Be Not Proud is my number one favorite episode of all time forever. Marge and Bart have a special bond that gets explored to great effect in this episode. Also, I love it when Bart puts the marshmallow in his own hot chocolate and absorbs all the hot chocolate, eats it with a knife and fork, and Grandpa says, ooh, give me a slice. That's pretty good.
Because apparently there's a technique to that that I just don't know.
And finally, Brian. This is Brian Thruhouse, as opposed to the other Brian. Going to jump on this early before it comes to cliche answer. Marge vs. the Monorail. It is what every episode of The Simpsons should be, hilarious, quotable, with good guest stars and a musical number. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm glad this week is we're back to the beginning of the show when no one picked the answers I got, and I actually have to go with Marge in Chains. I don't think it's nearly as popular because obviously Marge versus the Monorail is one of the best Simpsons episodes of all time, but I love Marge in Chains because it shows how much all of Springfield relies on Marge. She is obviously the hardworking person in the background that is, essentially supports everyone because the whole town pretty much falls apart without her. And I just like knowing that, you know, those people will eventually get respect.
Eventually.
If they're ever taken out.
Yeah. Probably the hardest choice I've had to make yet for our listener questions. I was going back. I really want to say Marge versus Monorail. That's such a good episode. I'm going to go with I Married Marge. Because that episode, it's so good about, it's just their relationship and how it captures that era so perfectly. And it's just so funny and heart-touching at the same time. I encourage everyone, if you haven't rewatched it in a while, go rewatch it again. Because watching it was, you know, the critical eye and all that, really, I'm a big I Married Marge fan now, and I never really thought of that episode that much before, but it's a good one. Next week's question, what is your favorite Bart relationship? Meaning, you know, romantic. I'll say favorite Bart romantic relationship.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I think I have my answer. I'm not sure, though. I'm going to have to think about it a little bit. I will post this question on all our social media, put it on Twitter, just at Simpsons Show Pod. On Facebook, you can like us there at The Simpsons Show Pod, and email us at thesimpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. I'm also, I've been starting to put more stuff on Tumblr a little bit. We have a Tumblr that doesn't have a lot of stuff on it right now, but I'm trying to use it a little bit. And that is thesimpsonsshowpod.tumblr.com. So you can follow us there. I put the new episodes go up there too. I'm trying to add stuff there. Try and build it up a little bit. A lot of people are on the Tumblrs. Well, Matt, you know what time it is?
The scariest time of the week.
Nah, it's not so bad. Time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will challenge one another with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other.
Say it's not scary, but after my performance in the past few weeks, it's pretty scary to me.
You've been doing fine. Just one bump of the road, you know, sky's falling or whatever. We take listener suggestions for themes. This week's theme is the answers have to be numbers. This is from Melissa, Matt's wife, who went through official channels. Even though we text each other all the time and see each other probably more than once a week. She had to message.
Because she doesn't like to talk to you directly.
I guess so. Matt had to message me through the Facebook page. So that's good. I'll start us off, Matt. How about that?
I like it.
What is the Simpsons house number?
Well, apparently as of today, it's 1094.
I will accept that answer. What is bonus points? Give me another one.
I believe it is 742 Evergreen Terrace.
That's correct. Give me an easy question.
All right, your easy question. How many children are there in the Flanders family?
Two.
That is correct. Good old Rod and Todd.
Just Rod and Todd.
And, apparently, they turn out a little different when they grow up, as we see in a few of the future episodes.
Is there an official continuity about how they end up in the future? Or is it like all the
that's
Simpsons?
The only time I think we've seen them in the future.
I wasn't sure if there's been an... I can only remember that one time, but I wasn't sure. Your medium question. Matt, you ready?
Ooh, yep.
How many crayons does Homer stick up his nose as a child in Homer?
I believe that is 64?
No, not that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of crayons.
Hold on, let me see if I can remember the quote directly. 16.
Yes, that's right. 16.
Okay. Yeah. 16. Sorry.
You got to think of units of crayon measurement, and you know
exactly. And I was like, well, 64.
That's the gigantic pack. But Homer is no child, regardless of how creative they are, is going to get 64.
How empty-headed they are.
Yeah. Hit me up with a medium. Right. Man.
This one's a medium. I think you'll get it though. Okay. How many questions does Apu get to ask the CEO of the Quickie Mart?
Oh, three.
That's correct, and Homer wastes every single one of them.
He does. Okay, Matt. This could be either really easy or really hard. I picked this hard one because I think this is one of your little weak spots. I'm trying to...
Oh, no!
One of your Achilles heels. What number episode is the first clip show?
Like season number, episode number, or just...
Either way. If you knew either, I'll take it.
The first clip show. Oh, because I'm pretty sure it's called So It's Come to This, a Simpsons clip show.
That is correct.
So that means it's not the 138th episode Spectacular, which means it's before that.
It is.
We're on episode somewhere in the 60s, so I'm going to go with 78.
Oh, so close. So close, but no cigar. 77. Is the first.
Oh man, I can't believe I got that close.
77 is the first one. We're getting it's in this season. It's in season 4. It actually has a completely new first act, which all the other clip shows afterwards abandoned. But I don't think we're gonna do it because there's just not enough. Or if we do, it's gonna be like a mini episode just to do like a first act and kind of we can do a retrospective maybe or something. We'll see. As we get closer, we can figure it out. Give me a hard one, Matt.
All right. Your hard question. How many husbands has Stacey Lavelle, the creator of Malibu Stacey, had?
I've asked you a question to name all the husbands.
Exactly.
I think it was five?
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
Well, I was really hoping to get you on that, but I guess I failed.
I knew it was either five or six. So, okay, I have some questions for you. You ready? This is all from Joanna.
Okay. Joanna's questions are hard, so thanks, Joanna.
Well, she has sent us a new batch of them as well that will carry us on for a while. But I welcome all of you guys. Please keep sending them in. I love them. Eventually, I'm going to get off my duff and add them to our website. Who in the power plant has a degree in nuclear physics?
Lenny and Carl definitely do. I believe that Mr. Frank Grimes had one as well.
Who has?
Mindy Simmons
has a degree. has.
Lenny and Carl both do, but Hart does not.
Lenny and Carl, this is enough. Mindy doesn't work there anymore, and Frank Grimes is dead.
That's true. She hit the bottle pretty hard and lost her job.
This is
from that clip show.
Yeah, exactly. How many of the people that participated in the Who Shot Mr. Burns contest guessed correctly?
Zero.
That is correct. No one guessed correctly, which, man, if only I could go back in time and tell everyone.
You could win. What was the prize in that? I forget.
I forget too. Let's find out. Who Shot Mr. Burns contest? Can't spell contest prize. Oh, the winner would be animated on an episode of the show.
That's right. Well, and all of us failed.
The wiki says someone did win.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Who didn't watch the show and opted to accept the cash prize instead of being animated.
Well, I would have accepted the cash prize too, but wow. I always heard that no one won.
Is that on The Simpsons somewhere that it said no one won or something? Like, is that part of lore that just kind of... That's strange, because the wiki says someone did win it. And they say that David Merkin mentions it in the commentary for the Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1. We will revisit this when we finally get to Who Shot Mr. Burns, and we'll talk about that. So, Well, I always thought it was zero as well. I'll count your answer correct, Matt, because that's interesting. I guess we'll talk about it more when we get to it.
Maybe Joanna knows, since it's her question.
She says no. She says no one. Most people think that it's no one, but maybe it's because nothing happened and they weren't a fan that it just never became big.
Well, that's true.
These are a whole bunch of all about Homer's salary. If you can name any of these things, I'd be very impressed, Matt. What is Homer's net pay for a week's salary, and what deductions does he have?
Let's see. I want to say his net pay was like $212 or something ludicrously low. And he's got income tax, something else, and then the Bear Patrol tax.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I can remember.
I think we glean this information from Much of Pooh About Nothing, which is the Bear Patrol episode, the immigration one. But his net pay is $362.19.
Oh, wow, it's way off.
Federal withholding, $56. FICA, $36. State, $10. Municipal, $9. Bear Patrol, $5.
That damn Bear Patrol. The largest tax increase in history.
And finally, we have the last of these, which is we had a Bart and we had Lisa. Now it's name all episodes that are Homer the blank. There are 7 of them.
Oh, God. Well, I thought we had a numbers theme going on here.
Homer the blank. Name 7 of them, Matt. Come on.
All right, fine. Let's see. There's Homer the Smithers, mm-hmm. Homer the Heretic.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. God. It has to be Homer the, right? Not Homer or Homer's.
Okay. Homer the.
Shoot.
You're missing 5.
I'm sure we've done more than that.
No, we actually haven't. So.
Oh, okay.
There haven't been that many. We've only done Homer the Heretic.
So bad at these. Homer the. I got nothing. Okay. episodes.
You have Homer the Heretic, Homer the Smithers. Uh-huh. The other ones, let's see, we have Homer the Great, which is coming up relatively soon.
Oh, yes. Stonecutter's episode.
Compared to some of these others. So yeah, Homer the Vigilante, Homer the Moe, Homer the Father, and Homer the Whopper.
Those last two don't really sound familiar.
We mentioned it. You mentioned Homer the Whopper.
Which one was that one?
A couple episodes ago, I believe you did. Isn't that the Seth Rogen episode?
Oh, that's right. I'm especially bad with titles of newer episodes.
Yeah, that's the Seth Rogen episode. So you talked about it last. I forget. You had mentioned it at some point. Maybe it may not.
I did. I remember talking about it.
May not have been on air. I don't remember. But those are the 7. But thank you, Joanna, for those submissions. Again, you guys can email them, tweet them at me, Facebook message, Facebook posts, whatever. I try and keep everything straight. It's difficult because there's a lot of information I'm dealing with on a weekly basis. I think we can call it a day for the trivia challenge. With that, we only have one more segment, the segment we end every episode with, that is Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is you probably seem like you're a little higher on this one than I am, Matt, but I liked it. I think it's good, but there's a lot of good Simpsons episodes.
That's true. I feel like there's a lot to really enjoy about this. It's one of those A-B stories where both of the A and the B story are both really good. I feel like it's one of those where it follows the formula where the A story is super important and there are a few jokes, but the B story is way funnier than the A story ever could be, with Homer and his "it's all you can eat" lawsuit is just so wonderful. And you got the sea captain and you brought Lionel Hutz back. I mean, it's just incredibly funny, but it's also got a lot of heart. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at Bart episodes and, so we've got, let's see here, got Bart's friend falls in love, Bart the lover. I figure it's kind of Bart's love life, so I feel like it falls in that area pretty well, but I don't really think it's as good as either of those. Maybe Bart the lover, I don't know, what do you think?
I think Bart the lover's a little bit better. I agree that is Bart the lover is probably the closest, because it is the Bart romantic relationship also with an older woman.
Yeah.
But I think I think it's more a little bit more powerful because we know Miss Krabappel more, and I think that, and that episode really fleshes out her character. Laura just vanishes. We never see Laura really ever again. So
that's true.
I mean this episode is, I think I don't like this nearly as much as I used to, this episode.
Really?
Well, as I've gotten older, I think it loses its impact.
Okay. Plus, I really love Darlene on Roseanne, so, yeah.
Uh-oh, we're having cat drama. So right behind Bart the Lover, how about that? Right above Bart gets...
That sounds pretty good.
Marge gets a job. I think Marge gets a job in New Kid on the... They're both very similar to me in that I like them, and they're good, but they're, you know, nothing spectacular.
They're very emblematic of this season of The Simpsons. They're great. They're not as spectacular. I mean, it sucks to be in the fourth season because they're really good episodes. And if this was a season two episode, it'd be amazing. But in a season four episode, I mean, this is the season with Last Exit to Springfield and Marge versus the Monorail. They're definitely being outshone pretty heavily.
Yeah, but it's for keeping track at home, number 26, that is New Kid on the Block, right ahead of Marge Gets a Job, right behind Bart the Lover, Lisa's Substitute, still number one, Homer's Aussie, still last place. Now, number 67. And eventually it will get passed. Something will go below it. I guarantee it.
Well, if we're not not ranking clip shows, I don't know what.
I can think of one, I think, just in doing research this week, for Simpsons-related things, is one in season 10, for sure. I would put below Homer's Odyssey.
Any previews?
No, I think the listeners, you guys try and figure out what episode I'm talking about. You probably, anyone who knows the all-time, hated episodes of The Simpsons among its fans, you may probably...
Is it Sunday Cruddy Sunday?
No, it is not. That is not the one I have in mind. I think it's season 10. It might be season 11. It's up, it's like 10 or 11, somewhere in there.
Is it Doin' in the Wind?
It is not Doin' in the Wind. I don't mind Doin' in the Wind. I think it's fine. Season 11, excuse me. Season 11.
Okay. Well, Grift of the Magi is pretty crappy.
I like Grift of the Magi. It's super dumb, but I still like it.
Is it Kill the Alligator and Run? Ugh.
You can't guess every episode, Matt. That doesn't...
I'm just looking at the bad ones in that season.
If you list every episode, it doesn't work. But you can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonshow.com. I'll find everything there. You guys used the internet before, you know? Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Hansel Boys Comics Hour. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, this weekend I have eaten so many donuts that I have transcended reality and become one with the donut god. So next time you're biting into a particularly good donut, especially the sour fruit filled kind, lemon, raspberry, strawberry, etc., you may become one with me. So you can submit any questions then.
Sour. Those are the worst donuts, man.
Those are the
best. Sour lemon donut is the worst.
Key lime pie donuts.
Key lime pie, I could maybe give it a pass on. The lemon, donuts are the worst donuts.
You're so wrong.
This is what's going to end this podcast, guys. This donut arguments. with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and keep watching The Simpsons.